My thanks to the Philadelphia Society for inviting me, and my apologies for violating one of their cultural norms. I'm going to use PowerPoint. And given the level of discourse, I'll have to apologize for some of the opening slides, which... Let me tell you, while the work has been done to get this ready, the first few slides are really to lay the basis. Here we are. Good. Thank you. I'm going to look at the cultural infrastructure and what's happening in our society and its effect and actually its relationship. It's a back and forth relationship between the welfare state and the culture itself. A very simple lesson, not bad for this area of Michigan. Farmers, when they sow, take care of two things, two of the big things, the soil, taking care of the soil, and then taking care of the seed. You need both to have a good crop. The analogous in this, the analogy here is the culture really is the soil, and the seed are the children we are raising, the next generation. And we'll go forward from there. Another framework underneath what I'm going to present is the framework I've used of how society works. There are five basic institutions. The ancestry of this idea goes back to Kuyper and Leo XIII, but Kuyper in particular. You've got the family, where everything begins, church and school, or education in its broadest sense. And those three are the people-forming institutions, fundamentally people-forming. The next two, the marketplace and government, are a bit more instrumental in their objective. They all have key tasks. No need to go into those. They're fairly obvious. Here's what's been happening in the United States since 1950 in our family. The bottom gray is the growth in the level of out-of-wedlock birth for every 100 children born. At the same time, that dark color is the growth of divorce by the same standard. And that line at the top actually is the growth in cohabitation. Now, this change has a major effect actually on the GDP growth. We have a paper on this that goes into it and a lot more, but essentially what's happening, one of the big things is a change in the quality of the capacity of our workers, which is decreasing. And combine that with the change in our population, what you're seeing here is the exit, the gradual decrease of productivity as the more skilled elderly are exiting into retirement and being replaced at the other end, essentially by less skilled in the human capital sense. The top line here, we're looking here from 1950 up to close to 2000, and this is in constant dollars what's been happening to the average family income. You can see there from about the mid-60s on, it did not change all that much. And one of the things that I think is driving it is that line below, which is the disintegration of the family. We'll get into that more, but actually the breakdown of the family is taking from the overall capacity of the nation to benefit from a very significant growth in the economy at the same time. Okay, looking at income. These are older data, but what you're looking at there from left to right are the lowest through the middle to the highest quintiles. And this is back in the late 90s. And there you can see the proportion. The light blue are the broken family, the non-intact, non-married, and particularly the single-parent family. That actually has, you look at the second quintile up, that is now reversed in the last 10 years, where the intact family is now being displaced by the non-intact in the second quintile. And the other ones, the top one has stayed pretty much the same. Looking at median household income, this is probably well known to you, but the intact married family is to the far left, that darkest blue. Then you've got the step family. They need a divorce, remarried. And then the cohabiting intact, and then the cohabiting step family. All four of those are two-parent families. The rest, then, are single-parent families. And the highest one there is the widow, who's probably benefiting from her husband's taking care of insurance. The average impact of divorce, this is an area that's a bit cloudy, but by and large, there I've just illustrated a good median number. It hovers somewhere between, for the household in which the child is present, before and after the divorce, there's an effect rather similar to the Great Depression. It's somewhere around 30%, 30 to 40, depending on how you look at it. Over this same period, and all of these things, I think you can see the relationship to welfare, to poverty. The growth in productivity in the nation has been slowing down considerably. Not the economy, but the growth in the economy, the rate of growth in the economy. And one of the things that's contributing to it, we think, is the difference in productivity between married and divorced and single men. The bottom line on this, another paper we have, is that the increase in divorce has slowed down the growth rate of the economy by 1/6 every year for the last 20 years. Rather significant, and not much attended to. Now, what's behind a lot of this, that red line, this is an index we've devised, the index of belonging and rejection, or the index of family intactness, because the family is constantly changing. What we take is at age 17, when children are just about finished their growing up in the family, we can use the census data to figure out what proportion of our 17-year-olds are still in an intact family with mom and dad. Nationally now, it's 46%, which means 54% have seen their parents split in many different ways. The most intact is the Asian family, which, by the way, is now at a level pretty close to where the black family was when Daniel Patrick Moynihan wrote the famous report on the case for the Negro family. Our strongest is now where our weakest was then. Weakest in family demographics. Then you've got the white family, the Hispanic family, about 40%, the multi-ethnic American Indian, 25, and the black family, 17. So only 17% of black 17-year-olds are living with mom and dad. Now, looking at the black family, here you can see the first square to the left is high school dropouts, and this is from 1970 up to 2010. So this is the rate of exit from marriage, the decrease in marriage among black high school dropouts. The next one is high school graduates. The next one is college graduates, and the last one are the professional class, doctors, lawyers, accountants. So a very significant exit from marriage happening in this last 50 years. This is a map of the level of intactness, what proportion of our 17-year-olds are in an intact family? Well, this is a choropleth of the nation. The darker the color, the more intact the nation. As you can see, the South is the place of greatest family weakness. And that's my great art to show actually what's happening as a result. The human capital of the American worker is decreasing. Those of you who have run businesses for a long time, you do know that today the young person walking in to start a job is not of the same, let's say, cultural capacity as the young person who walked in 50 years ago. in terms of truthfulness, hard work, showing up on time, etc., etc. Those critical habits of virtue on which the employer relies for the productivity of his firm and of his workers. This has its impact on wealth. The always intact married families to the left, and the next one is the married step family. And then the widowed you see again over there. So the two-parent family, the married two-parent family, is key to wealth. And this is where most stockbrokers will make their, and most insurance agents and companies, that's where their market lies most. Which, by the way, is a big part of the capital infrastructure of the country, lies mainly in the two-parent, in the married family. Poverty, lowest in the intact family and the step family, and then rising massively as you go across divorce, cohabitation, separated, and never married, 2/3. Much of the difference in black and white child poverty is due to the difference in marriage. The two short ones on the left, the first one is children in white, the level of poverty in white married families, and the one right beside it is the level of poverty in black married families. No difference. The other two, the 33%, that's in single white families, and the 49% is in single black mother families. This is this regression line you can see there, scatter plot. Of the states, that choral plot, we looked at the dark white and blue, the level of family intactness, the rate of poverty increases across states as the rate of marriage decreases. That's referring back actually to that same one. This is a chart from Robert Rector. He did about 15 years ago. I think it's a classic. He took a case where all the children in single parent families below the poverty line, there were 3.93 million. On the computer, he was able to marry if you were to combine the income of the father, who's absent, but he had the data, to the income of the mother, 3.17 million rose above the poverty line. So you can see from that the impact of marriage, that marriage would have on poverty. And that's without this next factor, actually. When men marry, their productivity increases around 27% when you control for everything. All us guys know that. That's why we try to put off marriage as long as we can, and the girls are trying to get us to marry, because we know life is going to change and get tougher. It gets 27% tougher, all to the benefit of the economy. Actually, that's a large part of what you saw absent once divorce comes in. It's almost not totally robs that full productivity, but a very, very significant portion of it. This is a chart we haven't yet produced. I think this is one of the most important charts for me in the social sciences, just given what I look at. What we're looking at here, the red line are men and the blue line are women. Federal Survey, National Survey of Family Growth. We're looking at those who've ever married. So all is a good national sample of all Americans who've ever married. And we're looking what proportion of them are still in their first marriage, depending on the number of sexual partners they've had in their lifetime. Those who've only had one sexual partner, their spouse, they're both monogamous. Both men and women are pretty much at the same level. It's in the very high 90s. And by the way, this is a replication. This is the second time we've looked at this with data about 10 years apart. So the pattern is, stats are a little different. The major pattern is exactly the same. For women, those who've had two sexual partners in their lifetime, and for most women, the second partner would have been prior to marriage, to college, high school, or after that. The rate of intactness drops down to, you can see that there, about 63%. And then with those who've had three partners, it drops down to 50%. You can see with men, it's a more gradual descent, and it takes to about the fifth sexual partner for the two to meet up. When I first saw that chart as it came off the computer, you know, the graphics made on it, what struck me immediately was the Mediterranean cultures that used to have chaperoning of girls knew what they were about. They didn't have social science to inform them, but they had a lot of good common sense. It was protective of not only the girl's future, but her husband's future and the children's future as well. Impact in education. Using the same scatter plot, what you have is the more intact the state is, the higher the graduation rate from high school. Now, I'm tying something in here, just going back to that last thing. The rate of graduation from high school, or the rate of dropout, actually, dropout, graduation, depending which way you look at it, on the number of sexual partners that high school children have already engaged in. The more sexually active they are, by and large, the less they're going to graduate from high school, which has its big effect on employment. Here we're looking at the red, that thin line, the dark blue, and the black. We're looking at unemployment rates across quite a long period, from 62 right up to pretty present time, and you can see that the unemployment rate is highest always among single men. Cohabiting men are somewhere in the middle, and those who are least likely to be unemployed are married men. If you dig into that deeper, actually, the men who are almost never unemployed are married men with three children or more. The lower chart is showing actually the fraction of what's happening in the economy in general. We have a downward slope of married men, a slight upward, very slight, of single, and down below you can see the rise in cohabitation. Its impact on unemployment. We're looking here again, the four charts. The bottom left is the high school dropout. The pink below are those who are married, and the blue, those who are not married. And you can see the big gap among high school dropouts that marriage makes and the unemployment rate. It holds again, if you go to the right, you see it's slightly less among high school dropouts. Up to the top left, college grads, pretty much the same, and it holds even among the professional class. So marriage has quite an impact on work and unemployment. And there I'm just reminding you of that earlier one we saw of black men, the retreat from marriage, so you can see its huge impact probable on the thing. I'm going to introduce here something that's not often considered, which is the impact of religion on education, which of course has a huge impact on employability. This is a representative of the whole of the U.S., the biggest survey we have. Grade point average by weekly attendance. Those who do a couple of times a month, a couple of times a year, and never. Now that's, the chart exaggerates the slope, but it's very significant. To give you an idea of the significance of this, and a number of others are going to come beyond it, No Child Left Behind, which is a multi-billion dollar effort, barely shifted the average grade point average up, much less than any one of those drops. When you combine, this is looking at the same children from the same chart, here we're combining intact marriage and weekly attendance. The highest one there, the 2.9, are the kids in intact married family who attend church weekly. The other dark blue one, the 2.7, are those in an intact family who don't attend church at all. So you get some idea of the difference it makes. The lowest one of all is the non-intact that doesn't attend church at all. This chart, by the way, on every single measure I've looked at, we've got 103 in all federal surveys. On every single outcome, the intact married family for adults and children that worship weekly is the core strength of the country, on every outcome. And the weakest is the same as the one here, the broken family that doesn't attend church at all. Children in high poverty areas, actually, this chart and the next, let me just sum it up. By the way, there's handouts there, and if there's not enough, you can contact me. I'd be glad to send you the whole PowerPoints. What these charts mean is that the poorer children are, the more religious attendance has an impact on their education performance, which is a nice thing to hear, actually. God does take care of the poor. Among elites, it's very interesting. Charles Murray has been pointing out this, the breaking apart. This actually is Washington, D.C., and any of you who are there, but the dark blue is the northwest quadrant where the professionals of Washington live, professional class. The bottom lightest is southeast Washington, which is the poor black, which is essentially the welfare state of Washington, is down there, which is in the backyard of Congress, actually. Most of Congress, if they lived in Washington, D.C., would be up in northwest. They might be out in Fairfax County, McLean, or some of the other places, but the level of family intactness in the dark blue is 9 times higher, 90%, of what it is in southeast Washington, which is 9%. In Washington, D.C., southeast, only 9% of 17-year-olds are living with mom and dad. This is the backyard of Congress. This is what the welfare state has done. But as Charles Murray is pointing out, actually, our elites are actually becoming more family intact. The trend has been upwards in marriage. Common sense, they can see what they want for their children, what they want for themselves. They're applying all the expert knowledge in their own families. But this is a failure of leadership. We're not transmitting this to the poor or into policy. The class divide exists actually in non-marital childbearing. What you have there is no high school degree, high school only, and 4-year college degree. Now that 4-year college degree level, 6% out of wedlock births, that's a throwback to the 1950s. Leave It to Beaver is doing well and good in the well-educated, in the educated and the higher income. Again, we're not transmitting that. My thesis here is, what I'm proposing is, what we're showing here below, this is the iceberg. Huh? What we talk about a lot on the top, government and the marketplace, very important, but what's below it all actually is are the people we are forming in the nation. It's like the iceberg. And my contention, and I think the data shows it out, as we structure the sexual act, and I'd go further, as we structure the first sexual act, so we structure society. It has massive, permanent, intergenerational impact. And the people, so the a model of a good society is essentially more God in worship, with all freedom, more marriage, and more children. Everything else falls in place if you have those three there. The left's model, and this is dominant in Congress, less religion, less marriage, less children. I'm not going to read through that. You can get it. It came out on September 16. This is a conversation that used to take place at the table of Kate Millett, author of Sexual Politics, one of those Marxist feminists, founder of Now. This was a chant-like thing that happened around the table of the early proponents of this. What they're really going through is a chant, how are they going to bring about their Marxist state? It's essentially by the destruction of the patriarchal family, which, by the way, means taking men out of family, which means taking men out of marriage. And as in all things, those who have suffered the most on this are our poorest. And by the way, our federal family planning programs are directed mainly at the poor and very much keep that in place. It's out of wedlock sex, time and time and time again. This is the very program that got me to shift from clinical work into public policy, the destruction that I saw doing on a few families that I was working with caused me to begin to think, this is the craziest thing I've come across. And as a shrink, I'm in the craziness business. So let's move. Okay. We leave it at that. If you want this PowerPoint or any of the others, that's where you can get it. Thank you very much.